Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. Final hour for us. Brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Get back into the big story of the day coming up just a couple of minutes from right now. Mark Schlereth, our Odyssey NFL insider, former NFL offensive lineman, three-time Super Bowl champion, going to join us at 1:20 as he always does on Wednesdays. And then we'll get to an AMA at 1:40 as well. Any question, any topic, phone lines will be open. Text us or tweet us as well. We've been getting a couple of Twitter questions here and there, but we still do try to do that from time to time. But the phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. All that coming up this hour.
We're talking break as we usually do and trying to work through this whole quarterback thing here in Atlanta. And, you know, it's so many the scenarios that you try to throw out, you know, like you just want to like some of the scenarios that you talk about. If that's the case about something,
yeah,
then a lot of people need to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't believe that's the case. Like
let's go down the path of what the case
is. I really believe this. I think the Achilles tendon is healed. But just because it's healed does not mean that you're ready to go. And I'll give you an example. One of our great friends, Jeff Palmer. Jeff plays basketball in Japan.
Okay.
Jeff tore his Achilles second game of the season, right? And that was in when did Jeff get hurt? Jeff got hurt, I think in November.
November of 23?
Yeah, I think Jeff got hurt then. I'll double check. But anyways, because he's showing me videos. He's tweeting out his videos and stuff. And he's running, up and down the basketball court, dribbling the basketball. Now, he's not doing all the jerks and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But he's still being able to run and everything like that. He's doing other stuff. He's doing jumping jack. I mean, not jumping jack, jump rope, things like that. And so that doesn't mean the tendon is not healed, because I talked to him last week. I said, how's it going? He said, well, the tendon is healed, but it's not ready. I'm not saying that's the case with Kirk Cousins. I think a lot of it could be the fact that once you get this thing healed, there's still a process that you got to get it to the strength that it's supposed to be at. And then you made a great point to me, and then trusting it. Trusting, because when I tore my ACL, I didn't really care about anything. I wanted to play football so bad that I was rushing through it. And then I remember I slipped and fell doing something that I thought I was ready to do when I wasn't. And then I almost messed it back up, set myself back probably about 3-4 weeks on my knee. Because I rushed it. I'm not saying they're rushing him, and I'm not saying that he's not ready to play. I think it's more him trying to get caught up with it.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's so many. We talked about this earlier, just as far as like the gray area in the way this is discussed from football coaches and doctors and stuff like that, and what it actually means physically to the player.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean he's recovered, right? His Achilles tendon has recovered; it's healed. The doctors aren't going to put him out. They're not lying. They're not like it's only partially healed and he's going to go out there. No, it's healed. The problem is like what you're talking about when in August or July or June, when he would have normally been doing this workout and this workout and this workout to get ready for week one, he's rehabbing.
Right.
He's doing stuff to make sure that his Achilles can get back to normal so then he can get back to doing that kind of stuff. You don't have a normal off-season workout routine when you're rehabbing from something like that. So you get to week one, maybe you're healthy, but your body hasn't done all the stuff that it normally did workout-wise because you couldn't, because you were trying to make sure that that thing was right so you could get back to doing all the stuff that you could do normally workout-wise. And again, all of that points to rust and time.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like that's okay. If that's what it is, which we're all hopeful that it
is.
Because no one, I haven't heard anyone say after Sunday's game, oh, there's nothing to worry about. Like Kirk Cousins is fine.
Yes.
No. I mean, it's somewhere between, all right, he's rusty. These guys hadn't played together. The Steelers defense was making him uncomfortable, and it was his first game back on his Achilles, to the extreme versions of, oh, my God, this guy's washed.
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to come back from this Achilles. It's never going to be the same. Hopefully it's not that.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not having that conversation in 2 to 3 to 4 weeks from right now. Right now, everyone's sort of banking on it just being rust, which, again, it's reasonable to think that it is.
It really is.
But it's also tough because now he's got to work himself back into – he's never going to be 100%, whatever, but work himself back into whatever top-level condition he can be in as the season's going on. So you're hoping that he doesn't get other stuff. He's going to get other stuff because he's going to get hit by guys.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be dealing with other injuries while trying to get that thing back to normal, while also mentally trying to trust the thing. It's tough. It's a lot.
Yeah, and then, you know, we saw the whole thing in practice. Remember the interception? They say he darted after a guy. Like, you can run and everything. It's just, can you do the football movements as a quarterback? Now, Dave was right. We mentioned it yesterday, the touchdown pass. He did move to his left, got out a little bit outside the pocket because he was coming back to his 4-3 to kind Kyle. So is it, you know, something where it just wasn't nowhere to step up to?
Could be.
You know, it's so many different things.
That's reasonable based on the way that the game went.
Yeah, it is but I got to see something different Monday.
Right.
You know, they can lose the game on Monday because Philadelphia, I think right now, is a better football team. With even if Kurt was
even
if Kurt was healthy,
it's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be tough to win.
I would probably think that Philly would probably win that game. How does he look physically? How does he look, and how do they go about adjusting to what they did? Wait, what did he say? Let me read this paper real quick. Said Raheem said Kurt has been running the same offense since Kirk's been here. So this offense, he played yesterday. This is what y'all been running, but he didn't do this when y'all brought him in. You think
he's never done it before?
He's never done it before.
Yeah.
So,
because if that's what's being peddled, if that's the explanation of, yeah, we knew he wasn't going to be able to do, and I'm not saying that's what Raheem was saying. Raheem's saying all the right stuff, which is he's healthy, he's fine, he's rusty, he's going to get better. This is the offense we've been running. This was the plan, which is what you say. He's not going to, even if it wasn't, he's not going to come out and be like, yeah, we can't.
Yeah, man.
We can't do what we planned on doing.
We messed this one up.
We can't do what we planned on doing. This guy's physically way worse than we thought he was going to be. This is a disaster. It's never going to say that, even if that was the truth. But if it is the case that they signed him and we're like, oh, all right, well, this Achilles thing is going to hamper his ability to be under center and do the play action that he's done his whole career. So what we're going to do is turn him into a pistol quarterback and play out of shotgun the whole time. If that was their actual plan, then that gets back to what you were talking about of, okay, everybody blew it.
Yep.
If that was the plan, which I cannot possibly fathom that it was,
you
were banking on the fact, and again, it still could be true, that he's going to recover from it. You're going to be able to get back to normal. You're going to get him under center for whatever percentage of plays per game that you want to do that, which is probably most of them, be able to use the play action game, which is his biggest strength, and do all the things that made him the quarterback that he is. You can't ask a tiger to change his stripes at this point of his career.
Nope.
Old dog, new tricks, whatever you want to call it. Like, that would be criminal if that's what they were trying to do. And I got to believe that that's not what they were trying to do. I got to believe last week's game plan was in part because of where he's at right now, in part because of what that defense was doing to him, and maybe there's some other stuff that we don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll find out Monday.
We'll find out Monday.
And then we'll find out the next Sunday, because that's the thing. That's the frustrating part of it. There's only 60 minutes to go off of.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of red flags up in those four quarters.
Four quarters.
But it's only four quarters to go off.
And 25 minutes.
Right. They only had the ball.
Yeah.
They only had the ball like eight times.
Yeah, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So eight drives, blah, blah, blah. We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. But I'll say this along the lines of we'll see, because when we say we'll see in that tone, we know what we mean.
What?
We'll see is nothing good happened.
No.
But we're not. Because, you know, if they played awesome on Sunday and he was in whatever, however he did it, threw the ball over the yard, it wouldn't be a lot of we'll see. It'd be a lot of, oh, yeah, this is what they got him for and all that kind of stuff.
And the crazy thing about it, we got a show before the game.
We do.
Yeah,
we have a show that day.
We'll have a show that day.
And we'll Lord willing, we'll have a show the next
like
day,
that.
Too.
And we're, yeah, Lord willing, and we'll have one then. And it's going to be, like, it's got, it can't be, I can see improvement. No, it got to be drastically better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be drastically better.
Yeah. Like, we can't be doing this. This is the Desmond Ridder thing again. Like, we can't be doing the, oh, he did this week.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's supposed to do that. We're not going to be giving away cookies for getting under center and looking normal.
Yes.
He's got to go out there and complete passes, throw touchdowns, and give the team a chance to win.
And something, I'm glad Arch said it. And these guys got to get the hell open.
Right. That's the other part of it, too. Quarterback's going to get the brunt of it, especially in this context. But yeah, maybe the reason why he hit his drop and had to look around
y'all
like
ain't
that
open.
Because guys weren't getting open. Maybe that's
y'all
part
ain't
of
open.
It, too. Yeah.
So yeah, you got to get open for him. And things got to play better. Everything about that offensive game plan last week needs to go in the damn trash can. Everything.
Everything
new in trash
can. All of it.
Everything new in trash can.
There was a couple plays. That run to Algier, I really liked. But throw it away.
Throw it away.
Got another place.
Throw everything away.
Yeah, just get rid of it.
Throw everything away.
But maybe they can't. That's the worry.
Is the play calling based on the ability of who you call the plays for?
Exactly. Exactly. Was it the play caller hamstringing the quarterback?
Or was it
Achilles tendoning? But you know what I mean? Like, was it the play caller making the quarterback's life harder? Or was the quarterback and his health making the play caller's life harder? Don't really know. Gotta hope. I don't know. It's a combination of all of it. It's just gotta be better than that, man.
Yeah.
Like, you just, it's easy, and we're conditioned to do it in fans of this team and all that kind of stuff, fans in general, but fans of this team, to have something like this happen on Sunday and then start wandering down these paths of despair. And it's like, oh, God, if this was that and this is this, maybe this is why they made this decision.
Yep.
They were lying to me about this. This is, you know what I mean? Like, you go to worst-case scenario real quick because you've experienced a lot of worst-case scenarios as a Falcons fan. It would be really helpful if they went up there on national TV on Monday night, put up like 31 points, and won the game. And again, I don't, like you said, they could lose this game and play well because Philly's good, but it'd go a long way to win it, man. Like, yep. It would be almost a complete 180 in terms of reaction. The overreaction that people had to that bad loss at home to the Steelers. You go up there and you beat this team and you look good on offense on Tuesday morning, people are going to be planning parades.
There
you know what I mean? And yep. I think you and I will, as always, be somewhere in the middle.
Right.
We're not going to be over crazy. We're not going to be, you know, telling you it's not a big deal. But, yeah, it would go a really long way to see that quarterback and that play caller and that offense in general playing better than they did on Sunday. All right. Don't have time to do the big story of the day. We'll just tell you that it's brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain. Bow! Unfortunately, the big story of the day broke in the first hour of the show, which is that Reynaldo Lopez, who had to come out of the game last night after one inning, is now going to be on the 15-day IL. Which is about how many games there are left in the season.
I thought his because he hit the batter right before that.
Yeah.
I thought he was just emotionally distraught that he hit the guy. I really, really did.
I don't think you go on the IL for 15 games.
I didn't know. Because I went to flip the chicken.
You did?
Went to flip the chicken.
And you came back and that
back,
was it.
And then I was like, the inning was over. And then I saw Jesse.
You saw Jesse. What's he doing out there?
What the hell he doing out there?
Yeah.
It's 1-0.
Luckily, the Braves scored a million runs last night, and ultimately the – who pitched didn't matter. And the pitchers all did great. Like, they didn't give up any runs. The bullpen had to do a bullpen game, and they did great.
The two pitches after him was great.
Yeah, they did. They did an awesome job. Max Fried's on the mound tonight. Be nice to see him have a good performance. Hopefully they can win tonight, win the series against the Nationals. But, yeah, man, tough sledding. Just the season that keeps on being unbelievable in terms of injuries for the Braves. Add Reynaldo Lopez to the list again because it's the second time he's been injured this year. We'll come back. Mark Schlereth is going to join us. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. We'll, of course, get his thoughts on what happened on Sunday with the Falcons, his thoughts on Kirk Cousins, and everything else NFL-related as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. Final hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. 20 minutes away from the AMA. We'll get the phone lines open. But 120 on Wednesdays mean Mark Schlereth joins the show. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. First of all, he's the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. And insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Okay, hold on.
All right.
Are you playing Frogger this week, Stink?
Am I what?
Are you playing Frogger, like trying to get across the street dodging? Last week we had
No, I'm sitting outside in this beautiful restaurant, about to have lunch with my niece. And this street, I'm on 9th and between 45th and 44th. But it's not as loud. This street isn't as loud as the last one I was on. So I think we're in good shape.
Sounds nice. It sounds like you got a nice little afternoon ahead of you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little, but it's pleasant. It's very pleasant.
What isn't pleasant is the conversations we've been having about the Falcons the last 3 days. What happened, in your opinion, on Sunday against the Steelers?
Well, I mean, obviously they couldn't block T.J. Watt defensively. You know, it was interesting because I had a conversation on television today about, you know, do you go back to Russell Wilson when he's healthy, or do you keep it with Justin Fields? And, you know, I said, like, right now, as far as I'm concerned, Justin Fields won that job, and he earned that job based upon the way he played. And they're like, oh, 6 field goals. And I'm like, listen, wait a minute. They looked at the game, what's going to take to win this game? And it wasn't about taking risks when you got approached the high red zone inside the 30. It was about coming away with field goals because our defense is dominating. Right. So if you're Atlanta, you got to be really concerned about with your lack of offensive performance, your lack of offensive scoring, and, you know, and your inability to block the edge of their defense. And so, you know, they got down to the red zone twice, did Pittsburgh, once with about a 35-yard pass or whatever, to, I think, Pickens, on a little post corner route where it was a beautiful throw, and then they just had to kick a field goal. And once at the very end of the game, the same kind of situation where they kicked the field goal. But I was trying to tell the guys that they weren't trying to score touchdowns when they got down there. They looked at it like, hey, all we need to do is kick field goals. We're going to win because our defense is dominating the Atlanta Falcons offense. So that's got to be the concern. And, the balance on that, I understand what a dynamic runner that Bijan Robinson is, but you need some of that hammerhead with Algier as well. And I mean, you got three carries in that game. So I just look at some of the stuff that goes on sometimes, and you just kind of wonder what you're thinking when you put a game plan together like that.
What did you think about the Kirk Cousins situation in the pistol? We talked about it. I know a lot of people talked about, him under center, play action, all those different things. But what did you think about them having him in the pistol that many times in that one football game?
Well, it says one thing to me. He's not healthy.
Okay.
That's what it says, because he has been historically, you go back to his time in Minnesota and his time in Washington, under the Shanahan system, the Gary Kubiak system, they are a team, or those guys are offensive coordinators that are going to have you under center a bunch. And, one of the things you have to understand is when you're under center, the totality of your run game is at your disposal.
Mm-hmm.
When you get in the shotgun, it limits you. About 40% of your run game just gets kicked to the can, that you can't use it. Now, pistol opens up some of that stuff again, but the reason you get into pistol is you keep the entirety of your run game open, but your quarterback can't get out from underneath center to get the wide handoff, that mesh point, because it's probably not healthy enough to do that on a consistent basis. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind is he healthy? Can he do those things? And he's always been able to do those things. And then, ultimately, when you're not doing that, the boot keep game and all that stuff gets hindered a little bit because there's less disguise. When you're coming out from center and you're flagging that ball and you're faking that handoff and then you're booting out the backside, there's some deception and there's some vision issues that you create for the defense. When you're in pistol, not so much.
Right.
So that it just signified to me that there's some health issues there that they're concerned about.
It doesn't get any easier on Monday, obviously traveling to Philadelphia, Monday Night Football, to take on the Eagles. Eagles looked – well, actually, how do you feel like the Eagles looked in their first game down in Brazil? What did you make of Philly's first game?
Yeah, I thought that obviously they scored a lot of points, but, again, I didn't think they were great. I didn't think Jalen Hurts was great. And part of it is you look at what he's done the last six games of the year. I think he had five picks. He had one fumble lost. So six turnovers in the last six games, 15 interceptions last year alone. He starts off the season with two interceptions. And I think the thing that really bothered me was it was where those interceptions happened. It was game management. So I'll give you kind of a thought process as a guy that played a lot of football. Like, one of the things I always thought about on a play, any given play, is, like, where can I not get beat? So if I know I've got late help coming in, like, say, inside the A-gap, like a running back is going to release on a burst route or something of that nature, so I've got a late helper going through the A-gap, where can I not get beat? I can't get beat to my front shoulder, the B-gap. So I've got to set to take that stuff away, right? I've got to take that away. I'm not going to let you beat me there. And if you win late, backside, I've got the helper of a back rolling through that gap, getting a late release. So basically, I'm going to win that rep. I'm going to win that rep from the neck up. So as a football player, you've got to think this way, right? You've got to think about where your help is, how you can win each and every individual rep with the least amount of effort, right? So you got to win the game from the neck up. And two interceptions in that game by Jalen Hurts. One's coming off your own goal line, about the 5-yard line, on a third down and 15, where you're trying to force a ball down the middle of the field in what they call a buck cover two with the middle linebacker running with number three. And you throw it into basically what amounts to eventually triple coverage. And then coming into the goal line or coming into the red zone, you're in the red zone on a third and 13, and you have checkdowns on both of them. And you throw one in the end zone, and Jaire Alexander drops his coverage and goes and picks it off. But those are two really crappy decisions that put your team in harm's way and cost you a game. It costs you points coming off your own end zone, and it costs you points going in to your own goal line. So just really bad decisions in critical moments by Jalen Hurts is what's costing them games and cost them games down the stretch where they lost six of the last seven, including the playoffs last year.
Yeah, man. Hey, Mark, well, you are in New York City. We just heard the horn. How about those two teams that play up there? One was a complete disaster, and the other one still looks like they're trying to figure themselves out, talking about the Jets.
Yeah, well, the Jets are still going to be an outstanding team, I think. In the long run, they're still going to be a really good defense. They're still going to be a really good team. And Aaron Rodgers, one thing I would say that I thought was a real plus is Aaron Rodgers seemed to have found kind of his go-to conversion guy. And one of the things that Aaron and I talked about last time I did one of his games was, hey, listen, I've learned to let the scheme handle first and second down. But on third down, that's my down. Mm. On a conversion down, that's my down. And I'm going to find the guy that I know is going to get open. And even if he's double covered, he's not covered, because we're going to be on that same connection. I thought he found that in Garrett Wilson. Mm-hmm. And that first touchdown drive where they went 70 yards, I think he completed three first down throws to Garrett on third down. And so that was a really good connection. Now, defensively, they just got their ass kicked. Yeah. And so they've got to figure that part out. But I thought for the most part, they had found a real connection. On the flip side of that, you mentioned that there's one team in New York that looks like an abject disaster. and I have the Giants, so don't tell anybody I said this. Guys, keep this to yourself. This is, we're in the trust tree.
We got you.
This is like guy talk.
Yep.
So don't be a D-bag, okay. Right? Just keep it to yourself. Danny Dimes cannot play. Like, he looks awful.
Right.
Just awful. And, and I'll give San Francisco, you talked about the Jets, I'll give San Francisco a lot of credit. They drafted Trey Lance. They moved from 12-3 to get him. They gave up three first-round picks, and they realized after they started playing him, oh, shoot, we screwed up. He can't play. So they ripped the Band-Aid off that gaping wound, and they moved on. Now, it helped that they drafted Purdy, but they evaluated Purdy, and they're the only one that felt good about putting a draft pick on him so he couldn't just be a free agent. Danny Dimes, at some point, what point are you going to rip off the Band-Aid? At what point do you realize – that he can't lead your team to anything significant as far as wins are concerned? Since he signed his $160 million contract, he's thrown more pick sixes than he has touchdowns. So he's thrown more touchdowns to the other team than he's thrown to his own team.
Yeah.
Time to end the experiment.
Yeah, it's a disaster of a stat. Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can find Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Speaking of bad quarterback situations, how much trouble are the Browns in with Deshaun Watson?
A lot. There was a couple times in that game the other day where I thought to myself, are you sure you're right-handed? I thought, man, that is just awful. He's just awful. And now he's got another lawsuit filed against him, and just an abject freaking disaster. And that's a good, that's a good team. They can win the line of scrimmage, both offensive line wise, defensive line wise. They've got really good players, and he's holding them back. And you can't get out of that unless you know that it becomes I think there's some outs in that based upon this latest allegation. And I think if you're Chicago Cleveland right now, you're hoping he gets convicted of something, because that contract right now, if they try to cut him, I think his dead cap next year is $172 million.
Yep.
I mean, it's insane. And it's pathetic. Here's the deal. You paid him $230 million total, right? $230 million guaranteed. Last year, four quarterbacks came in and played for the Cleveland Browns. All four of them were better than him. Joe Flacco and a bunch of other guys that I don't even remember their names. Every one of them was better than Deshaun Watson. And now, you know, he's got a, you know, the speculation right now, he's got a burner account called, I guess.
What?
Lloyd Bickerstaff. Yeah, the speculation is, no, Leroy Bickerstaff. Look it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, Leroy Bickerstaff. And right now, the speculation is it's Deshaun's burner account because all it's doing is supporting Deshaun and saying what a great quarterback he is and how he's the best quarterback and none of it's his fault and everything else. So there's a lot of speculation investigating right now that that's his burner account trying to support himself. What an absolute toolbox. I just cut it for being such a toolbox. Like, hey, we're going to suck for the next 2 years because this toolbox cost us all. Like, we're the dumbasses that did it, though. Like, put yourself in a situation to lose. Don't be surprised when you lose because you're the dumbass that put yourself in that position.
I will say Leroy Bickerstaff is a funny name to come up with. Like, if you're going to name a burner, that's a pretty funny name to come up with. Mark, sure. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, brother.
Enjoy lunch.
All right. Take care.
Bye. Mark Schlereth there, Odyssey NFL Insider. A lot of heat there for the quarterbacks in the NFL. That was brought to you by, well, first of all, you need to know that he hosts a podcast called the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. You can get that on the Odyssey app. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Mayo
game day be delicious. A little extra Hellman's there. To make it such. Leroy Bickerstaff,
Yeah, there it is right there.
Yeah, I see it.
Leroy Bickerstaff.
It's a funny name.
Yeah, it is. I ain't going to believe that.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. Like, he can't play. Got a lot of money. He's in trouble again. He's right. Like, they want the legal stuff to happen.
Oh, yeah.
So they can try
they
to get
out from under it. They are trying everything they can to get up out
of
this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. They would love that. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA to wrap things up. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Ask us anything to close things out on a hump day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Ask Me Anything AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. Thanks again to Mark Schlereth. That's what every Wednesday at 1:20 is going to be like, by the way.
Yes.
He's going to tell you what he thinks.
Yes. He is going to go ahead. He is going to say what he needs to say.
We had a good Twitter response to that. He said, never heard so many D-bags, toolboxes, and dumbasses dropped in one radio segment. Hey, man. Just asking him questions. He says what he thinks. All right. Phone lines are jam-packed. Let's start with Mike, who's in Atlanta. Hey, Mike.
Man, Randy, I'm with you, man. Tomorrow I'm 51. I'm going home. I'm barbecuing, drinking beer, and listening to some Maze, brother.
You damn right.
Today, quick story. 23 years ago, 9/11, I was listening to V103, and I was late to school. Keller Road and McAfee, Malachi Theopin, he was getting on me. And I heard what happened. And I walked into the auditorium, and it was quiet. I said, Mr. Theopin, a plane just crashed in the building in New York. A lot of people died, and they canceled class. So we went to the beer store, me and my buddies, hell, we off. And when I saw that building fall, bro, I felt sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
So my question is, Bunk, and do y'all remember where you were 23 years ago when that happened?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was in my dorm room. I was skipping class, actually. And then my girlfriend at the time, she called the room and she was like, turn on the TV. And I just remember I turned it on and I just couldn't believe my eyes. And then I remember maybe 20, 30 minutes, we got a big message about everybody needs to be at the butt smear now. Because we played Arkansas that week.
Canceled.
Yeah. We played Arkansas. We didn't know it was canceled.
Right.
Yeah. And so we all had to meet over there and Coach Rick called us up. And I remember we all said a big prayer and everything like that. And I mean, it was one of the weirdest things I've ever experienced.
Yeah. No, I mean, so my experience a lot different than that. We're on the West Coast, right?
Yeah.
Growing up in Seattle. I'm, I think, a junior in high school probably. Mm-hmm. So when everything started, when the first plane hit, we're still asleep.
Right.
I mean, it's, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, something like that. And my phone rang. And my buddy, who I talk about all the time, is Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Jackson calls me, landline, house, pick it up. And he's like, hey, you got to turn on the news. Like, there's an attack on New York. I was like, what are we talking about? So I turn it on. And my mom comes down, and she's just like, just sobbing. Because she obviously, you kind of know what's, you don't know what's going on, but you know a plane's crashing the building. And she was just so concerned. She's like, firefighters are running in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're so brave, but like they're all running in there. You don't know what's going to happen. She was just like beside herself, worried about everybody there, but these firefighters too. So, yeah, I mean, everybody remembers where they were. And then we went to school because, again, we're so far away there. You know what I mean? There was no real fear of anything happening in Seattle, really. So they didn't cancel school. We went to school. Now, the teachers put it on TV. Mm-hmm. All anybody did was sit around and watch.
Yeah, I believe
that. This is weird but true. We had golf practice that day.
That's crazy.
Nothing canceled. We went and played and practiced.
We didn't practice that weekend. I'm sorry, we played Houston because that game got moved to the end of the year. We played Arkansas after that.
Yeah. I mean, and then the rest of the week was spent just sort of watching and, you know, then kind of find out what happened a little bit, and that starts different conversations. But anyway, Taylor is in Atlanta. Hey, Taylor.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, man, it's crazy that it's 9/11. Real quick, I used to work for Atlanta PD. I don't work anymore. I start my first day now federally. That's where I'm headed now.
Oh,
that starts on 9/11, and I stayed at the Georgian Terrace overnight, and my room was 9/11, 911. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. However, though, I want to ask you a question. I'm a New York Giants fan. So me being a New York Giants fan, I'm trying to keep my team. Right now, it's looking very Falconish. Like, it's not going to win nothing, not going to do anything. So, in order to not have my New York Giants look like a Falcons, what would y'all suggest? I got to show respect, and I got to talk junk because that is my team.
All right, Taylor.
I appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Taylor.
Appreciate it, Taylor.
Good luck with the new gig.
Good luck with the new gig.
To be fair, the Giants have been worse than the Falcons for the last decade or so.
They have.
I mean, you got to start over at quarterback. Yep. You're in the situation the Falcons were in last year, except – you've paid your quarterback $160 million.
Yes.
You got a bum at quarterback.
And he is.
So you have to get a new guy.
And
but you can't do that till the draft.
They're going to have to, and I think Daboll is a good football coach. They're going to have to fire him and get rid of him.
Probably.
They're going to have to,
Start over. Yeah. You're going to get a really high draft pick.
They got some good defensive players.
Yeah.
They got a left tackle that can block out the center, Andrew Thomas. Malik Nabers looked like he's going to be a dude.
And he's young. He's a rookie.
And he's young. But they got nothing.
So that's nice for a new quarterback.
Yeah, but they got nothing.
But, I mean, I don't know. It's probably too early to talk draft, but, like, Shedeur Sanders.
They got nothing.
Who else? Quinn Ewers.
They're going to be number one.
Carson Beck.
They're going to be number one.
There's guys. Cam Ward. Who knows? There's going to be a lot of quarterbacks.
They're going to get the number one.
Yeah, you're going to have your choice.
Yeah.
Andrew's in Decatur. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
That was a couple tough follows there. I know it's 9/11.
You don't have to ask a 9/11 question if you don't want to. It's okay.
I got a question for you, Andrew.
In English, so go ahead.
Did you fix it?
Yeah. Where are we at?
Yeah, I'm actually headed back to Buckhead because I had to pick up some stuff. So I'm just currently in the. I got to move. I'm moving.
Oh, so you did fix it. You got to go to Buckhead to pick stuff up to bring back.
Okay, all right.
Good.
All right. He fixed it. Okay.
That's great.
All right.
Well done. Happy to hear it.
It's like low-key tentative, but, I'm moving stuff over.
Yeah, you just fixed it, so of course
it's tentative. Can't put, like, the whole pack of drawers in there.
Yeah,
you got to take a pay out the pack, put it in the drawer. Don't take the whole pack of drawers.
The momentum's headed in the right direction.
Yeah, we like that. Upward trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
My question is a quick one. Considering some of the early play, what do you guys think about, like, soccer style loan options in the NFL? Do you think that would be a fit? And if so, where do you think that would? I don't know. Is there a scenario you think would work out right now?
I don't know, but that's a fun idea.
What'd you say?
Like, if you could loan, if they did sort of like a loan format, loan system in the NFL, the way they do in soccer, where it's like, all right, the Giants clearly suck, but Malik Nabers is good. Maybe the Steelers can get him on loan for the season.
I think it would be cool as hell.
It would be really cool.
Now, it would never happen.
It would never happen. But it's an awesome idea.
I think it'd be cool, though.
Yeah.
Can we borrow Malik for the season?
You get like two loan guys per year or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
That's a fun idea. Again, the NFL would never do
it.
It would be great if they did relegation. That would be hilarious. Relegation's the coolest thing in European
Carolina,
soccer.
You're done.
Yeah, you guys got to go.
You
guys got to get out of here. All right, James is in College Park.
Hey, what's going on? Real quick, whoever answered her on the phone, don't block me, but you got to get a little more enthusiasm, man.
Man, that man doing like 14 things back there, James. Bo over there. He typing. Bo writing articles. He has her phones. He has the volume.
Okay, my apologies, Bo. I'm just, you know what, trouble, folks. You know, we like that little enthusiasm. Like my grandma used to say, answer the phone like you want to. But now, real quick, my question is, do you think, I got two questions. The first one is, do you think, are you worried about the Mets booing the Braves for the final playoff spot? And lastly, if the Falcons go 0-3, what are our chances of making the playoffs? Thank y'all for accepting my
thank
call.
Thank you, James.
I'll tell you this. And people talk about the stat 0-2 and everything. That was all in 16-game schedules.
That's true. And same thing with 0-3.
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing with 0-3. It's a good point.
It's a good point. I mean,
that's a little pre-optimism.
I've been thinking about it because I know what everybody keeps saying. Well, they're 0-2. This is my team's made the playoffs when they're 0-2. I was like, well, that was 16-game season.
Good point.
But
well done. I like that.
And what do you say about the Mets?
You worried about? Did he say about knocking them out or boo? I don't really understand what he said. Now it would suck to not make the playoffs because you lose that series to the Mets.
Yeah, it would. Kind of love it. And it would be so good. It would feel.
Let me flip this though. The Mets aren't dealing with what the Braves are dealing with.
No, they're not.
Nobody's dealing with the
Nobody
Braves.
Nobody is.
If they can't beat the Braves this year,
yep,
of all years, then they're never going to beat them. So how great would that feel? Even though this season's obviously not what you hoped it would be, probably not going to end up being what you hoped it would be. Man, if you can keep the Mets out as injured as you are,
yes,
you know, like Spencer Schwellenbach wins a game against the Mets to keep them out of the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'll take that.
Hell yeah.
Take that, absolutely.
Take that.
You ever, when you answered, because we don't really answer the phone that much anymore,
yeah.
And whenever you do answer the phone, you know who it is, right? It's your wife, whatever, you know, because you have caller ID. When you didn't have that, and you would answer the phone, how would you answer?
Hello.
Just hello?
Because I used to do, because, Boys in the Hood. Was it Boys in the Hood? And say, who this? And so and she was so mad at
me. Yeah, I can imagine your mom not liking
this?
That. I'll be honest, like, if I was in a particularly good mood, you might get a yellow. Every once in a while.
What the hell?
Yellow.
What the hell?
Yeah, like a fired up yellow.
Yeah, no. But the best.
Yellow.
But the best thing about my mama is my mama got her. She got, because my mama's name is Angel Michelle, and people call, all my family call her Shell and Michelle.
Okay.
So when Michelle answers the phone, she, hey, what up? No, she'll say, what? Hello? But when Angel answers the phone, it's, hello?
Yeah, the work voice.
The work voice. Well,
everybody's mom has the work
hello?
Voice.
Hello? But yeah, that's how I just answer. Who this?
All right, let's get the takeaways of the
hello?
Day.
Hello. Hey. How are you? Voice tone.
Like the pitch goes up one.
Oh,
it's like, oh, that must have been. That must have been work.
And then it's like, hello, how are you?
All right, takeaways of the day.
Don't be a D-bag.
Dang it.
Don't be what a damn toolbox. And answer the phone like you want to.
Yeah. God, Mark Slarish had a lot of good ones. He said, if you're in the trust tree, don't be a D-bag.
Yes.
That was good. Also, Dave Archer said the term game lungs.
Yes.
Falcons need their game lungs on Monday. That was really good.
Randy can't play no Sweet Home Alabama with a name like DJ Bornhard.
No.
And we like breaking news, but not when something breaks.
Yeah,
man. Bad news. All right, we'll see what Dukes and Bell have for you next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.